heard about that. There are things I don't remember. In fact, Karen and I were talking about this. Karen's really good about putting notes in her Bible. And I was sitting there reflecting on when I preached on this, and she turned to the passage in her Bible and she said, well, it was September the 11th, 2005. I was off a week, so she's the one who corrected me on that. Genesis 35. Back then, I preached this passage, as we all had hopes that people would return to Bethel, and we went through different experiences, some good, some not so good. Today, really, the focus is on how precious it is for us. For any believer, when we go through renewal, that's what this is. It's a call to renewal. It has special meaning for us because we are coming back as Bethel to this place to worship together. Stand with me if you would. Follow along as I read verses 1 to 15. We think, still continuing this series, and I'll be wrapping it up soon, Comfort for the Church in Challenging Times, it's time to return to Bethel. God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go to Bethel so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I've gone. So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and the rings that were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree that was near Shechem. And as they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And there he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried under an oak below Bethel. So he called its name Elon Bakuth. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you. Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken with him, Bethel. What we just read together? The inerrant, infallible, all-sufficient Word of God. And my prayer in our coming back today, as I've been praying and looking forward to the service, is that God would do, not only excite us and cause us to rejoice in being able to be back together, but also to renew us. To renew us. Teach us what we need to learn from this time that we've been in exile apart from one another. Thank you. Please be seated. I suggested to you, if you were able to watch us over our YouTube channel in the weeks we were not together, that God calls His people who face challenges that would be very easy to respond to fearfully. He calls us rather to respond in faith and to rise. I want to take an acrostic today. I want to add an A to it. Arise. That's the call here in our text. Arise. The A, acknowledge complacency. Then the rest of it you know if you've been tracking with us. R, remember past mercies. Invoke present promises. Submit to divine providences. Expect future grace. Arise. The church needs to arise. I've been wondering, what are you teaching us, Lord? What are you teaching us? Help us to learn whatever it was you're teaching us, because I don't want the next lesson if we don't learn this one. I want you to see in this text five things. First of all, there's God's call to return and renew. Secondly, there's Jacob's repentant response. Third, there's the terrifying attending presence of God. Fourth, the relationship with God renewed. Fifth, a renewed commitment to and worship of God. Look at the first one, God's call to renew, return and renew. God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Bethel, of course, remember, Beth-El. Beth means house, like Bethlehem is Beth, house, Lahem, bread, the house of bread. Beth-El, El is God. Bethel is the house of God. Go back to the place where I met you powerfully the first time, to Bethel. We all have our Bethel. We all have a place where we met God powerfully. And while it may not always be necessary to get up and physically make a pilgrimage back to that place, we need to, in our mind's eye, from time to time, go back to that place and ask ourselves the honest questions, the hard questions. Is my devotion to God now what it was when I met God at my Bethel? God made the place where I was when He met me like the house of God to me. He's calling Jacob to return to that first love, that first zeal, that first joy, that time when you could have hummed all day long, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, wouldst die for me? A call to return. It's a call to renew. We never go back. We never visit just for nostalgia purposes. We return to renew. And so that's what he called him. Bethel was only 30 miles from Shechem. And yet Jacob had dwelt in Shechem for a long time without going to Bethel to pay the vow he had promised he would pay to God when he first built an altar there. God is faithful even when we're not. So he comes to him and says, arise. And so I love the second thing, Jacob's repentant response. Jacob didn't act like he'd outgrown that. Jacob didn't act like he was into more important things. But his response is at once in the same time a blessing and causing you to tremble. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, and purify yourselves and change your garments. You see, something had happened. Too much of the world had gotten in to Jacob's lives and the lives of his family. And he knew it. I mean, he says, we're going back to Bethel. Put away your foreign gods. Turn them over. They were there. He knew it. It's like Adam standing silently by Eve when the serpent gave to Eve and she gave to her husband who was with her. Jacob had not only let his heart grow cold, he let his house embrace other gods. I've wondered, I don't know about you, and when the announcements began to come, canceling this, canceling that, I mean, how in the world? You can't just cancel the NBA, not have basketball games. You can't just cancel high school baseball, for crying out loud. Owosso is a perennial champion. These kids have played. You can't cancel Texas A&M spring football game. And you go on, and you would say OSU and OU, just cancel. And I've wondered, what gods of mine? Oh, they're not the chief gods. I mean, but you know, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, what was going through your mind Because I know some of the things going through my mind about how are we going to, and then fill in the blank, when the cancellations began to come, when the limitations began to come, when mitigation began to be the word of the day. How will we? How will I? In the early days, where or when am I ever going to find toilet paper? Yeah, the cancellations came. By the way, if you haven't checked, I think they're giving it away free if you buy anything at some of these places now. But see, the gods were there. Put them away. Purify yourselves, because having them means you've been stained, you've been made impure. You know, look, folks, forget COVID-19. The stain of idolatry is much worse for any culture. And it certainly is worse for the one who professes faith in Christ and yet is collecting gods along the way. I think one of the things God wanted to teach me, and I pray we teach you, is to strip away the things that I thought were essential. To remind me He is essential. And it is essential that I love Him with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength. That I love my neighbor as I love myself. And so, He said, put them away. We're going to go make an altar. We're going to go worship to God. Notice how He describes Him. Now, Jacob acted as if he'd forgotten this, but he remembers it. He knows very well. And you remember this too. Make an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I've gone. God does that for me. He does that for you. This is our God. So they gave Him the foreign gods and He buried them. I don't have time to go into how they got there in the first place. You can go read Genesis 31, 30 to 35 and find out that Rachel, when Jacob was leaving with Rachel and Leah and the families, that she took a bunch of the foreign gods of Laban's and stored them. Stole. That's a whole discussion in itself. So, the third thing I want you to see is the terrifying attending presence of God. Here's the lesson here in verses 5 to 8. And as they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them, so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And there he built an altar and called the place El Bethel. I love that. I could camp out there for quite a while. God, the God of the house of God. It's not enough just to remember the house of God. It's not enough to remember the place where God met with you. It's not even enough to go back to that. Because the danger is you can begin to worship that place rather than draw near and worship the God who met you at that place. So he said, he intensified the name. It is El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Because he'd revealed himself. And then we're told that Deborah, apparently a godly nurse, died. Now look at this. Look at what's happened in this culture. And if you didn't know it before, we know it clearly now. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this land has lost the fear of God. How do you know that? Because leaders in this nation do not fear laying a hand on the Church of God. I could spend the rest of the time rattling off things like a pastor in Mississippi arrested because his congregation was meeting in a drive-in service. The windows were up in their cars. Now, everything was dropped finally when there was a big outcry. But folks, let's face it. The leaders of our nation do not fear the Church of God, nor do they fear laying a hand on the Church of God, so they don't fear God. So see, you either travel with the terrifying presence of God or with the terrifying reality that the church has become complacent and has lost its witness, has lost its edge, and people either ignore us or despise us. And in despising us, they have no hesitation. The gloves are off. And if you haven't seen that, it's going to be interesting to see what life looks like post COVID-19 for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were able to travel with the terror of God. around the people. And I want you to pray with me. We're going to be emphasizing some prayer times moving toward this solemn assembly in July. I want you to pray with me. God, restore upon us, first of all, our holy, holy fear of you, and then restore a terror of the Lord upon this land, by whatever means, and we'll be talking about that. El Bethel. I pray that you'll covenant with me and say, you know, it's not just about being here in this place, as wonderful as this place is, and as wonderful, I'm excited to be here with you. It is about the God who owns this place. The God who has promised to meet with us when two or three are gathered together in His name, that He will be in the midst of us. He will send His Spirit. He will inhabit the praise of His people. He will minister us and meet us and strengthen us and enable us to send us out to be His witnesses. It's about the God of the house of God. He built an altar. We have an altar. His name is Jesus Christ. God offered Him up. He's the sacrifice. He's the high priest who sacrifices Himself as a sacrificial lamb. He is our altar. We go to Him. Oh, I pray that these times we've been apart have been at times of soul searching for you as they have for me to return to Jesus with an intensity, with a first love that's spoken of in Revelation to the church at Ephesus, a first love, a zeal for Him above all else. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today, except, and then we make our laundry list. No. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I pray that that's happening to you in the midst of this. And look at the relationship with God renewed. He restates the covenant with Him in verses 9 to 13. Now, He'd already named him. We don't have time to develop this, but He'd already named him Israel earlier. Okay? You can find that if you go look at chapter 28. He calls him Israel there. What's going on here? When God gives you a new name, and you act like the old person. It's been some 20 years, by the way, since Jacob had come to Bethel. When God gives you a new name, that is, my child, and you act like the old person, like you're not His child, He'll let you live with that name for a season. But He comes in this renewing experience here. And He says, your name is Israel. The word Jacob, of course, you know, means supplanter, deceiver. That was kind of his... That's how he made his way, deceiving his father, deceiving his brother. Israel means successfully striving with God. Now, that doesn't mean for us to try to get the upper hand on God. It means to strive with God, to stay with God. The old saints used to talk about prevailing in prayer, wrestling in prayer, laying hold of the horns of the altar. He's Israel. And He promises the covenant to him, just like I did to Abraham and to Isaac. The covenant is yours as well. You'll be the host of a company of nations. The offspring will be innumerable. He promises the covenant. Folks, we have the new covenant. We celebrate the new covenant today. Sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's ours. We dare not become complacent about it. We dare not go to sleep on it. We dare not take it for granted. We ought to always be coming to Jesus Christ, our altar, renewing our vows with Him. Yes, Lord, You are mine and I am Yours. Help me to walk in Your ways. Finally, I want you to see this. The renewed commitment to and worship of God. You see, when you've had a fresh encounter with God, when you're allowed to go back to your Bethel in your heart and mind, as we've been allowed to return here, my prayer for me, my prayer for you. Jacob set up a pillar in the place where God has spoken with him. A pillar of stone. Stone wouldn't rot. If he built a wooden altar, The wood would have rotted. A stone, something permanent. Poured out a drink offering on it. And oil on it. Oil sanctifies it. The drink offering was a thanksgiving. He was so thankful. God did not abandon him. God did not leave him to his Jacobness. Loved him enough to encounter him, recover him, revive him, renew him. People, our nation needs revival. Desperately so. We've got to sing, we've got to pray, Lord, send a revival and let it begin with me. Lord, send a revival. Let it begin with my family, my church family. Oh, I pray you want that. Folks, darker days are coming. On the day that the Oklahoma Senate thumbed its nose at a bill that would have abolished abortion, it was a Wednesday. Karen and I were there, making our way back here for prayer meeting. On that very day, someone tested positive in an Oklahoma Thunder basketball game. And it was canceled. They didn't play the game that night. It was at Chesapeake Arena. And they haven't played a game since. Folks, if we don't get the lesson, I don't want the next test. God has leveled this economy. I know there are sinister forces wanting to see the economy go down, but I'm telling you, you've got to back up and see the hand behind it. God is basically saying to his church, can you live without me or not? Because if you can live without me, then you will live without me. And you will taste something you never thought you'd taste in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And we need revival. When you have revival, you set up a stone. Stone of remembrance. You point back and say, yeah, that's when God got my attention. That's when I began to cry out again, oh God, send a revival. That was a day that things changed. I want that so badly for us. I want that so badly for us. And we need that so badly. And this nation needs it so badly. People are losing jobs. Millions. Everything seems secure. Business closing, some that may not open back up. Everything shaken. And the only thing unshakable, the Hebrews tells us in the book of Hebrews, is the unshakable kingdom of God. Everything else that can be shaken will be shaken. It'll come apart. I'm so grateful you have returned physically to this facility for us to gather for worship today. And my prayer for you, as it is for me, that it's really more than a physical return. That there's a spiritual return. I pray that as we've been apart, that your heart is ached. So I can't look, if someone had put a gun to my head and said, we can shoot you in the head or you don't come back till June. There are plenty of churches that are not meeting yet. And I said, no, I can't. I can't keep on going without the people of God that I love. Gathering with my people. I pray. God is stirring your heart. He's renewing you. New vigor, new zeal. Don't take for granted some of the things we've taken for granted. And that He will raise us up to be a people that will have our Bethel. And that Bethel will be the launch pad, the starting point. That's my prayer for you. Do you know what I've prayed ever since we've been apart of? The Aaronic blessing became very precious to me. I've had Josh sing it a few times. Josh, if you all come on up. It's found in Numbers 6. Toward the end of the chapter, verse 22, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus shall you bless the people of Israel. So Aaron, here's how the people of Israel will be blessed. You shall say to them, and this is what I've been praying over you, by name. I pray this for every one of you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put My name upon the people of Israel. And I will bless them. And I prayed this for you. That God will put His name upon you anew and afresh. And bless you in ways. There's that expect future grace as we arise. Acknowledge our complacency. Remember past mercies. Invoke the promises of God. Submit to the difficult providences. And expect future grace. Will you rise with me? Let's stand. I want Joshua to sing this. I want you to join with him.